The Vampire Kitty Cat Chronicles, Chapter 10, An Abominable Situation Arises. We drove by the lawyer's condo on the way to Pat Bobson's church. There were now three TV vans parked in front, and maybe 20 people milling around on the front yard. The lights were on in the house, and I glimpsed Igor opening the front door and stepping out onto the porch. The reporters on the lawn swarmed toward him like, well, vampires after blood. Sorry, my mind just goes that way now. I kept track of streets and landmarks as we went. One of these days I was going to get away. While Lester hadn't mistreated me, he wasn't my idea of an associate, especially with his vampire pooch hanging around glaring at me. Danger seemed to be Lester's constant companion, too, and that was a kitty cat no-no. You'll never see a cat looking for trouble. There were more TV vans and an even bigger crowd in front of Pat Bobson's Righteous Christian Church. The low, wide building covered most of a block, with parking all around and a ramp up to the roof for more. The Rev himself was on the broad steps in front of the building. He faced a front line of reporters holding microphones in his direction and cameramen focusing on him. 100 or so men and women, mostly white, mostly middle-aged, backed up the media. A couple of people in the crowd carried signs that declared, "Death to Vampires." Some people just don't pay attention. Lester found a parking spot and switched on his little television. Sure enough, there was live coverage of the goings-on in the land of the righteous. Pat Bobson shook a finger at the television camera. His voice seemed mild, but a vein throbbed on his forehead, and it felt like he was yelling even though he wasn't. "These vampires have an ungodly agenda. They want to get into our schools, violate our children, and invade our homes to turn all of us into abominations." Lester snorted. "That would be dumb. Then we wouldn't have anybody to feed on." Speaking of feeding, the bloodlust was warming up in my belly, getting ready to freak me out again. And there I was, shut inside a hearse with vampires. The undead business had its inconveniences. The Rev railed away. "God has spoken to me, and he has given me a grand vision of my mission to eradicate these unnatural perversions from our fair city. I will lead a host against the unholy undead, and stomp their filthy, twisted bodies back into the earth where they belong." The man had a temper. In the crowd, fists shot into the air, mouths opened, and a roar bellowed. 100 rabid vampire haters only a few car lengths away made me a tad nervous, but Lester just watched with a grin on his face, his fake fangs glistening in the light from the television screen. The Rev held up his hands and the crowd quieted. "Brethren, heed my call. I go inside now to pray and prepare. Return at midnight, and we will begin our cleansing with the filthy corpse the vampires have sent to campaign for the city council. Bring wooden stakes and fire, the sacred tools of a holy purge." The crowd went nuts. He smiled, then turned and went inside. Lester shut off the television and started his hearse. "Let's see if there's a back door." He drove around to the alley behind the church. The building not only had a back door, but the back door had a pet door. Lester let Nasty out onto the pavement, but scooped me up when I made my move to get out. He eyed me. "I don't know why, but I don't think you've heard the call of the wildlife just yet. However, I think I know just what will bring you over." I hoped it was a bowl of warm blood. The burn was growing in my tummy. With me tucked under his arm, Lester tried the back door and found it open. A heavy-set black woman wielded a mop in the wide hallway inside. Using a small smile that didn't reveal his fangs, Lester went to her and said, "Sister, would you be so kind as to tell me how to get to the Reverend's office?" She cocked a hip and put a hand on it. Sister? I ain't no sister of yours. I'm a good Baptist. I just work here. She gave him the vertical stare. I gotta say, though, that's a fine cape you got there. I couldn't help but think of how much blood flowed through her big, round body. Lester's hold on me tightened. I suspected he was feeling the bloodlust, too, but he kept his voice cool. Ah, we're all brothers and sisters under the Lord. Please, the way to the Reverend's office? She told us, and we trekked upstairs to a set of double oak doors. I eyed another pet door on one of them. It was cat-sized. Lester walked right in. We found Pat Bobson at his desk, petting an obese Persian that lay on it in front of him. Bobson looked up and gave us that warm, loving smile. May I help you? Lester closed the door. Oh, yes. The Persian stood, arched its back, and hissed. Lester stroked my head. Look, Patch. Dinner. I didn't think so. If I could avoid it, that was. It would be like, well, cannibalism. Come to think of it, wasn't what Lester did a form of cannibalism? But if the bloodlust took over, I didn't know what I would do. Actually, I did. Feeding frenzy. Bobson's face remained saintly. What is it, my son? Lester said. I heard your little rant about vampires, and I want to give you a new insight into them.
I don't need a new insight. In fact, I haven't needed a new insight for a decade or so.
Bobson patted a black book on his desk, a Bible.
Everything I need to know or think is in here.
Lester took a couple of steps forward. Really? I mean, vampires weren't around in those days.
Bobson smiled. Doesn't matter. The Bible tells me what to think about perverts and abominations like vampires and queers.
He touched a finger to a temple.
And if it's not in the Bible, well, God lets me know.
Lester set me down. I think you need something new to chew on. Or, more to the point, I need something to chew on. He was at the Reverend's side with a few long strides. That Lester was a monster of action, all right. He grabbed the Rev by the lapels, lifted him out of his chair, and had his fangs stabbing into Bobson's throat before he could scream. The cat leaped down and raced past me, I figured, heading for the pet door. Its blood called to me, but I was still in control. I heard a crunch and turned to find Nasty's massive jaws gripping the cat's neck. Nasty dropped the body and, with a quick rip of his canines, had the Persian's blood pooling on the floor. Nasty lapped greedily. I wanted some, but that was a cat. I heard a groan accompanied by slurping sounds behind me. A quick glance showed Lester having a fine dining experience with the preacher. Lester looked at me. Come here, my pet. A taste of this is what you need to feel the true power of the vampire. Intellectually, I wasn't interested, but my body was. The smell of blood was overpowering. I needed some. I turned for the pet door, but Nasty stepped in front of me. He opened his jaws for a silent growl. Would the creature never get it? And blocked my way. Screw Nasty. I took a deep breath and charged straight at him, yowling. His eyes went round and he stiffened. I ducked low and ran between his front legs and through. I heard his claws rasp on the carpet, so I put on speed. In a flash, I was out the pet door and in the hallway. A crash sounded, and I turned to see Nasty's head appear in the pet door opening. But that was all that was going to come through. He was stuck. I went back to him. Oh, the fun of watching him go nuts trying to scrooge another inch through the door to get me. I gave him a quick lick on the nose. A yucky taste, but the silent howl he uttered made it worth it. Bloodlust boiled in me. I raced down the hall, hoping I'd find one of the black woman's legs, and hoping I wouldn't, too. She'd gone, so I ran out the pet door at the back of the building. I slammed into a skinny pair of human legs. It was Ginger Grant, ace reporter. She pointed at me and said, "Hey, isn't that the vampire cat?" My strength was flagging. If I didn't get some blood soon, I'd be helpless. I spun and ran, but banged into another pair of legs. Grant shouted, "Grab him!" It was her cameraman. Before I could get moving, he threw an open equipment bag over me and everything went dark. You haven't known misery until you've been a vampire kitty cat trapped inside a smelly leather bag with the pain of bloodlust blazing through every cell of your body. If it had been possible, I would have sucked myself dry. I was picked up, then dropped. A lurch told me that I was in a car, moving. Finally, the zipper on the bag opened. Light, but indoor light, so I was okay with that. Sound, the yap-yap-yap of one of those yappy little dogs. Propelled by blood hunger, I leaped out of the bag. Well, I intended to leap. My hind legs lacked the strength, and I got halfway out, then caught on the bag and fell the rest of the way. Laughter joined the yapping. I lay upside down on a slate floor, staring up at Ginger Grant, laughing at me. One of those bite-sized poodles stood between her feet, yapping so hard its spittle spotted the slate floor. The thing was white, much of its fur shaved, and red ribbons tied on its ears. How could it stand the humiliation? Answer, it was a dog. Next to her stood the cameraman, the same bulky, bearded guy with a bandana on his head who'd been at the lawyer's house. He had his camera aimed at me, capturing my humiliation on videotape. From experience, I knew that Yappy's brain was the approximate size and horsepower of a carrot's. More importantly, Yappy was chock-full of blood. I got to my feet and charged, my claws scrabbling on the floor. Bloodlust provided a certain energy. Maybe fury would be a better word. I hit Yappy at full speed, knocking it back and out from under Grant. Grant screeched, "Puffy!" I ripped Puffy's throat open and the dog lay twitching. While I lapped up blood, the sound of hands clapping caught my attention. I glanced up to see that the cameraman had lowered his camera to applaud. Turning to him, Grant said, "Ernie!" Ernie shrugged. Then he raised his camera to take my action. Grant reached for me, but I turned and faced her, drew a big breath, and hissed as hard as I could. I suspect that, with my muzzle dripping Yappy's blood, I made a pretty scary sight. She backed away a couple of feet. With one hand, the cameraman offered her a microphone. She didn't hesitate to grab it. I went back to lapping blood beside Puffy's dead body. The pleasure of relief was already spreading through me. Puffy was tasty. Grant said into the microphone, "This is Ginger Grant with the KTBC exclusive, the first look humanity has had at a vampire feeding. And this kitty cat vampire, if we are to believe the words of Meg Murrow, another vampire, is a co-candidate for the Bloomsburg City Council." I don't recall what she said next. I'd lapped my fill of Puffy's blood and sat to let the pleasure course through me. I felt a purr coming on, but it died in my throat. I couldn't relax. Meg was in danger from Pat Bobson's flock. I flashed on the mob scene from the Frankenstein film again. Bobson's bunch had looked like they were capable of the same kind of lunacy. And he told them to come back with torches at midnight. I looked at the door. It was very shut, and I needed to get out of there. Grant continued, "Apparently the creature has finished feeding off of my sweet puppy. What happens next? Does this cat turn into a bat?" Good grief. I gave her my best kitty cat, "Are you an idiot? Look, the one where we level our gaze at you with eyelids slightly lowered." It shut her up. A clock in the foyer chimed. I couldn't read clocks, but I could count. 12. I got to my feet and walked to the door. Ernie the cameraman tracked with me, stepping back out of my way. I stopped at the door and waited. When nobody moved to open it for me, I decided to add a little motivation. I turned and slunk toward Ginger Grant in hunting mode, my belly low to the ground, my gaze focused on her neck. She said, "Oh, crap, it's coming after me." She backed away. Then I swung wide and came in from an angle that would get her moving toward the door. "Ernie, are you getting this?"
"Yep. Vampire kitty cat attacks newswoman. Great stuff."
She reached the door and backed into the knob. I thought that was a great point to inhale and let out a long, low growl. Grant groped behind her for the doorknob. "There aren't going to be any attacks on this newswoman." She flung the door open and stepped aside. I rose to my full height and walked out the door, chin high, tail waving. Behind me, Grant whispered, "Get the bag!" A glance back showed me Ernie scooping up that equipment bag and starting for me. I ran for it and left Ernie, well, holding the bag. Thanks to Puffy's contribution to my well-being, strength flowed through me, and I had no trouble trotting all the way to the lawyer's condo. I didn't know how I could alert Meg to the danger of Bobson's bunch, but I'd find a way. The gang of news vans and people still clustered in front of the condo, and now a cop directed traffic past the place. I wondered how I should approach. Then I heard a low moan come from a wall-sized hedge that separated the lawyer's condo from the apartment building next door. Slipping through a flower bed, I crept close. There stood Lester and Pat Bobson. Bobson was the one moaning. It sounded a lot like the moan that had come from Meg when the bloodlust was upon her. Bobson strained forward toward the TV crews, and Lester held him back. Lester said, "Patience, Brother Pat. We don't want to be discovered." Bobson's answer was a snarl. A man's voice came from the crowd.
"Any place to take a leak around here? I'm about to bust."
Another male voice said,
"That hedge over there works pretty good."
A female voice said,
"I hate it that guys can do that and we can't."
Moments later, the rustle of leaves signaled the arrival of the guy who had to pee. He rounded the end of the hedge and bumped into the Reverend, who grabbed him by the shirt and threw him to the ground. Bobson dived on the man and chewed on his throat. Lester said,
"Go for it, bro."
And then a second man rounded the corner. Bobson looked up at him, blood covering his mouth and chin clearly visible in the light from a street lamp. Extreme makeover, vampire style. The man said,
"Oh my God."
Lester stepped forward and the man looked up and up to the 7-foot vampire's face. The man said,
"Oh."
Lester lunged at him, arms outstretched, but the guy spun and ran into the street, screaming for help. I suspected that this would not do the vampire cause a lot of good.
Please don't murder me.
The song is Dire Wolf, from Reckoning by the Grateful Dead.
Please don't murder me.
For more fun, visit VampireKittyCat.com.